so seductive. I take you to the candy shop. I let you the lollipop.
So that additional 1.8 million people, are they all Republican? Why is the map so red, especially the one that was sent to Fox News?
Senator Gates.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, in my dreams, they would all be Republicans. But I don't believe that that is the case.
In my dreams, they would all be Republicans. I got to give credit to Don Gates, our state senator, yesterday, managing the conversation around the redistricting. Incredibly statesmanlike, and also occasionally, when justified, quite funny, as is the norm, if you know Don. And I do not that. I mean, I know him okay. I wouldn't say we're like the closest people or anything, but, you know, that is absolutely a good representation of him. In my dreams, they would all be Republicans. Joining us now, Alex Andrade, who I know also has a great deal of respect for Senator Gates. Alex, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, our state representative from District 2.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Hey, good morning. And by the way, in his extended time as our representative, you know, under normal circumstances, you would have been done with the job. But you get this extra session, you get a budget extra session coming in 2 weeks. You get, you know, the governor just must want you back in Tallahassee a lot.
He just misses me so much.
Yeah, I figured that was the case. All right. First of all, let's just get it out of the way. The budget session is coming in 2 weeks, right?
Yes. So starting May 12th, the House and the Senate, we will reconstitute our budgets. The agreement has been like we will repass in both the House and the Senate the identical budgets that we passed during session to put them in the right posture for us to then go into the negotiation. We call it conference, where you'll see offers back and forth over the course of several days so we can negotiate our budget. I'm very excited that we're going to have like public negotiations this year. It'll feel good to actually have some, you know, transparency and, you know, engagement in that process again.
All right. Very good. Well, we'll look forward to, I mean, you know, I never can honestly say I look forward to budget discussions, but it is the big business of government and it is how money and taxes work. So it's important, obviously. And before we get to the redistricting, which is the big thing, the special session had been called for redistricting, vaccines, and AI. And my read was that the legislature, both House and Senate, essentially told DeSantis to pound sand on doing AI and vaccines right now, right?
Well, no. I mean, the Senate, they had a bill on AI and a bill on vaccines, but the House, no one filed anything. And to the point about what's the reason for a special session, special sessions, by virtue of their name, should be only in special circumstances. DeSantis, I mean, we as the Florida House, we've passed vaccine and medical freedom bills in the past, like just last legislative session, we passed the medical freedom bill. But, you know, DeSantis tried again on specific policies on medical freedom and AI this year, and they both died during regular session. Failing in your attempts at advocating for a bill during regular session does not, you know, satisfy the threshold that I think is required for you to call a special session.
Agreed.
It's closer to like a tantrum than a justifiable reason to have a special. So, he tried during regular session, didn't work. So we just didn't see the importance of it.
What about property taxes? That keeps being we're going to do it, but that didn't happen either, right? And that's still not scheduled to happen either, right?
DeSantis has hinted at the fact that he will propose a weaker, less stringent property tax proposal than the Florida House passed, and he will do it sometime in June. So even when we're done with the budget, he'll still want to see my face in Tallahassee. So can't wait to spend more time with our great governor.
And super conveniently, that would come after all of the preliminary budget work that's being done by every local government. So cool. Okay, we'll move on. Just enough for now. So I have questions about the decision that was made yesterday. This is my chance to wrangle with you just a little bit. I've been doing a lot of explaining of what happened yesterday and how it was intended. My own take was this seems so clearly to benefit our party, your party, my party, Republicans, that it was a partisan violation of Section, 20, I think, is the congressional one of Article 3. It was so clearly a partisan benefit that would cause me to absolutely oppose it under normal circumstances. The only way I can talk myself into holding my nose and supporting it is given what's happened in Virginia and California and is happening around the country and the effort to steal the next House election by redistricting inappropriately. Your thoughts?
Well, are we debating about disparate intent or disparate outcome, right? Like, and a lot of times when you're talking about, the net effect of something versus the intent of something, they're two different answers. I don't happen to think the criminal justice system is inherently racist just because our prison population has higher concentration of certain races over others. You know, like that's the outcome versus opportunity is always the type of, question. But at the forefront right now, because that Calais decision came out, prior to us in the House voting on it or the Senate voting on it, and it said you cannot draw a map based on race outside of exceptions that didn't apply here.
Right.
We did draw maps based on race in 2022. That's how the case law, that's how the Supreme Court decisions that had come out previously required us to do it. And by the way, the Fair Districts Amendment in the Florida Constitution said you can't diminish, so presumably the interpretation of that is if you have six majority-minority districts in 1960, regardless of how populations moved, shifted, changed, 60 years later, you can't have less than six, minority-majority districts, which became untenable. That's right. When we got gerrymandered. The only districts that were gerrymandered in the state of Florida in 2022 were the ones that we felt we had to, based on case law, to comply with that. So the only ones that were gerrymandered were Democrat performing majority-minority districts. We did away with gerrymandering based on race yesterday, based on these maps. Whether or not, the folks that drew it, had specific or hyper-aggressive partisan intent, I challenge you to hold up the map that was passed yesterday in Florida and the way those districts are drawn to the maps of Illinois, Virginia, and California, and tell me which one is gerrymandered.
Well, those are two kind of answers in tension with each other. Because everything you said in the beginning, I agree with. And everything that you said in the end, I agree with. But did Florida draw maps that are compact, geographically aligned, race blind? Or did they draw maps that are, compact, geographically aligned, race blind, and to partisan advantage? And it's the and to partisan advantage part that looks problematic. So I know, Alex, you've had much more time, Alex Andrade, you've had much more time to look at the particulars of the maps. You know the state maps a lot better than I do. Some of the objections that were raised during the debate yesterday about, carving up districts or drawing lines that, looked problematic for political purpose, even putting aside that the no partisan gerrymandering part of the Fair District Amendment has probably been struck down now because it can't be severed from the other parts, I still don't want them to be gerrymandered for political purpose. You look at the maps. Do the maps accomplish the goal of ending the race-based drawing? Do you think they were drawn for partisan advantage? Those are the two questions.
The first question, yes, I think it addresses race-based.
Okay.
Maps. It complies with the Calais decision, and it provided the justification to pass the map yesterday. As far as the partisan advantage, I'm trying to figure out the best analogy. You draw your maps, you have like 15 different options, and you make sure that the program that you use to draw those maps does not at all have any data set that references the registration of each household.
Okay.
You draw those 15 maps, and then you send those maps to 20 of your friends, and two of them say, like, plug them into a different data set to figure out which one has the most Republican districts in it based on registration. At some point, someone's going to plug that data set in. I don't know if it's the first person that's drawing the map or the 160th person voting on it when it gets to the legislature. Everyone will know, like, the party registration of each district before it's passed by the legislature just by virtue of the fact that we're human, competitive, and we'd like to know and try and predict in game. I don't have a crystal ball, cannot tell you how these maps will perform in November as far as partisan performance.
Right.
And it's just as likely that by diluting Republicans out of, some districts, and, having some like more weak Republican registration districts, you lose seats. I mean, like that is just as distinct a possibility because you're spreading out, you know, your Republican votes at the same time that you're redistributing, you know, map like districts.
Yeah, if you crack dark blue, if you crack dark blue into light blue, it can only be done by also cracking dark red into light red. I mean, that's by definition. Yeah. If you're going to gain, Republicans in a district, you have to have lost them somewhere else, right?
Exactly. And it's the same with the race-based considerations. I've always looked at it by, okay, if we're going to concentrate all minority votes into this one congressional district, aren't we essentially just putting them in a corner? You draw maps that are compact and contiguous, and then suddenly, you know, if 15% of the vote is suddenly a minority vote in this district that was 100% white or majority previously, well, then suddenly some enterprising candidate is going to realize I could go and focus on this 15% and have a distinct advantage. You know, like you, by focusing on race or even focusing on something like, you know, party registration, you're doing yourself a disservice because while folks might think voters are dumb, they're not. And, you know, partisan performance and outcome in November is going to depend on the quality of candidates, how hard they work, you know, how folks feel about the way and the trajectory of the country. Just because we drew some maps that are compact and contiguous, like you look at our map and it does not look gerrymandered, whereas I challenge you to look at California's and Illinois and tell me the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Or the old Florida maps, or the previous Florida maps that we've remedied. I mean, it's really crazy to look at those, and especially with the high percentage of no party affiliate. Or just plain independent, even if they're not registered in that way, you don't know exactly. Because as you say, on the one hand, it's not like they're all Republicans. On the second hand, many people, you know, actually vote for people instead of voting for party. And so it's a question of what happens. And I actually loved what Jason Pizzo had to say yesterday, in the sense that if this is such an outrage, if this is such a horrible violation of good ethics or law, then, you know, ride the blue wave, baby. You guys are going to win huge in November. And that'll kind of prove the point that the voters really do care about this and that it was wrong to have done.
Yeah. And all I can say is when you look at the map, like, I feel like Taylor Swift would love it. There are zero snakes in our map. Like, there's no snakes.
Nice. Which is always the... for people, that's... If you look at the Louisiana map that the Supreme Court struck down, I mean, that was an obviously gerrymandered district. I mean, so obviously that you can't not think that. Same as in Illinois, as you said, same as in California, and so forth. The next implication, and I know, you know, this isn't exactly your domain to decide. It's the county commission. But the practical application, particularly of Calais, is... It looks to me like District 3 in Escambia County, which produces a majority-minority district, a black district, that is, even when we did redistricting, we were literally counting black and white voters to make sure that we had the right percentage, for County Commission, Escambia School Board, and also for the ECUA. That looks unconstitutional to me now. What do you think?
As I say, it's unconstitutional because it was done in compliance with, court order, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Whether or not the impetus of Calais would justify or require if someone filed a suit against the county to redraw their maps and eliminate any discussion or consideration of race is a different question. If I'm, you know, the commissioners, I might want to take up, like, probably, you know, get a legal opinion sooner rather than later, and then, you know, maybe consider, you know, redrawing the map. And it doesn't have to look that much different. Like, they could literally take up an identical county commission map, say, you know, we're going to pass this map that is nearly identical solely because, like, the voters in each district are familiar with their numbers. That would be sufficient.
Yeah.
Like, it's not some earth-shattering, but they might have to actually retake up the question of their maps and say, okay, we gotta eliminate all discussion of race when we're talking about this.
Yeah, and in the future, redistricting is going to come again in a few years. Certainly, we're going to have to not have the conversation about how many whites were moving here and how many blacks were moving there. One last quick question for you, Alex, before we let you go is, on seeking a legal opinion about that redistricting, would they be coming to ask future county attorney Alex Andrade about this problem?
If he thought for a second no. Not in my future. Not even a consideration. Love the commissioners. Love the county staff. No, I'm good. I'll pass.
That is as hard a pass as I have ever heard you make on anything. And I figured that would be the case for all kinds of reasons. Alex, as always, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Andrew.